Greetings and welcome to Grace Alive. It's good to have you tune in with us today, and we trust that you'll stay tuned for the next 30 minutes. In just a few moments, we will start a new series of studies here on Grace Alive, a series of studies entitled Living the Life of Christ. This is the last in our series of studies looking at the topic life, find it, get it, learn it, live it. We started several months back by taking each one of those topics and just summarizing it, reviewing it. Life, find it, get it, learn it, live it. And then we've spent a month on each of those separate topics, looking at how we can find, where we can find life, how we can get that life once we've found it, how can we learn about that life. And then this month, this series of studies, the topic, live that life, living the life of Christ. We will start today in Acts chapter 17 and also Galatians chapter 2. So you might want to take a moment now and get your Bibles and find the book of Acts and the book of Galatians. And as you do that, I'll remind you once again that you're watching Grace Alive. And at the end of the program, we'll be giving you information about how you can contact us here at Grace Alive, either through the mail, through our website, or by our toll-free phone number. And if you do so in this month, while we're doing this current series of studies, we'd be glad to send you either on audio or video cassette tape the entire series, Living the Life of Christ. Just request it, ask for the series on living the life of Christ, or just mention living life, and we'll know what you mean. We'll be glad to get those out. As I said, we'll be giving you that address at the end of the program, and if you'd like to receive those, you can write to us or contact us in any one of those ways, and we'll be glad to get them out to you. Right now, Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter number 17. And we have used this as a starting point for this entire series of studies looking at finding, getting, learning, and living life. In Acts chapter 17, verse 24, we read, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. The God that is revealed in Scripture, the God of the Bible, is a God that giveth to all life. The thing that makes the God of the Bible different than all the other supposed gods that man worships is that the God of Scripture, number one, is a living God, and number two, can give life. Not only is the God of Scripture alive, but he's a God that can give life, can impart that life to others. He's a God that can breathe into a lump of clay and have that lump of clay become a living soul. He's a God that can take a dead spirit, dead in trespasses and sins, and give it spiritual life and quicken it and make it alive in Christ. He's a God that can create a universe from nothing. That is the God that the Bible describes. Different than all the other gods, as I said, that men claim to be gods or that are worshipped as gods, the God of the Bible is unique in that he is a life-giving God. And that's what has prompted this series of studies, is that fact that God is a God that gives life. Not only is he a living God, but he's a God that gives life. And in this series of studies, we have been looking at the topics life. Find it, get it, learn it, and finally, live it. We need to understand if the God that we serve and the God of the Bible is a God that gives life, then we need to know where we can find that life that he gives, how we can get that life that he offers, how we can learn about that life once we've received it, and then finally, how we can live that life. Now, we've already covered in detail in the past 3 months these first three issues, finding life, getting life, and learning life. We saw that we find life in a book, in the Word of God. That Word of God has been preserved today for English-speaking people in the Authorized King James Bible. We get life from that book. We get the life that's on the pages of that book into our hearts, into our lives by faith. When we believe the gospel, we receive the gift of eternal life. Our sins are paid for, we are forgiven, and we receive the gift of eternal life. We learn about that life, again, by going to God's Word and by studying it in the way that God prescribes, rightly dividing the Word of truth. When we study God's Word by rightly dividing the Word of truth, we begin to understand the life that we received at salvation. Now, in this month's series, we want to look at this last issue, the final piece of the puzzle, as it were. That is how to live that life. Once we know where life is, it's in a book. Once we've received that life as a free gift, received the gift of eternal life by faith in Christ, by believing the gospel, that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again for our justification. And once we've taken some time to learn about that life, once we've studied this book to understand how to rightly divide the word of truth and where we go in that book to find the information about the life that we've received in Christ, then it's time to begin to live that life. And that's what we want to focus on this month, is living the life that we've found in God's Word, that we've gotten by belief of the gospel, and that we've learned about by rightly dividing the word of truth. How now do we, as we live our lives day by day, how do we live that life that we've attained? Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 will be the starting point for this particular month's series, looking at living the life of Christ. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, in fact, is the verse that is our theme verse here at Grace Alive, because it has in it that information about life, about living. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Notice what verse 20 says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You see how the focus on that in that verse is on living. It's on the fact that although we've been crucified with Christ, we live, but not really us. It's Christ that lives in us. And the life that we now live in the flesh is no longer our own, but it is the life of Christ. You see, one of the biggest fallacies today in Christendom is to believe that what we need is a Christ-like life. Everyone talks about a Christ-like life. I want my life to be like Christ's. And that's just not what we're taught in Scripture. That's not what we're taught in Paul's epistles to the churches of the Gentiles. In fact, the only person in the Bible that made the boast, made the claim, I want to be like Christ or like God, was Satan. Isaiah chapter 14, Satan says, I will be like the Most High God. God's desire for us is not to have our life be like the life of Christ. God's desire for us is to live the life of Christ. When we receive the gift of salvation, He places in us the life of Christ. And now by faith, we can live out that life of Christ in the members of our flesh, in our bodies of flesh. We live not a life, not our life that is like Christ's life, but we live His life out through the members of our flesh. And there's all the difference in the world between trying to make your life like Christ's life and realizing that your life is crucified and you are now living the life of Christ. There's a chorus we sing sometimes here in our local assembly. Christ liveth in me, Christ liveth in me. Oh, what a salvation this, that Christ liveth in me. You see, Christ lives in us and His life lives out through us. Not just our life being like His, but His life living out through us. That's the point that Paul's getting to in Galatians chapter 2. And as we go through this month's series of studies, we're going to understand exactly how we receive that life of Christ, exactly what it means to have the life of Christ living in us, and exactly how we act upon that life of Christ, how we live out that life of Christ in our daily existence. But to understand why Paul deals with this in Galatians chapter 2, Galatians chapter 2 is where he's talking about this life of Christ, and it's interesting to understand the context of the book of Galatians, to understand why he's talking about the life of Christ in the book of Galatians, to understand that there is a problem in Galatia with that very issue, with understanding the life of Christ and with understanding how that life can be lived out through us. Turn with me, if you will, back to Galatians chapter number 1. Galatians chapter number 1 and verse 6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Now, these verses describe for us the occasion of Paul writing to the churches of Galatia. If you notice up in verse 2 of chapter 1, to all the brethren which are with thee unto the churches of Galatia. Paul's writing to the churches of Galatia, not just one local assembly, but to the local assemblies in the area of Galatia, in that province. And as I said, the occasion of that writing is found in verse 6, 7, 8, and 9. They have been removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. So Paul says, you're being moved away from the gospel that you believed, moved away from the gospel that you trusted, moved away from the gospel of the grace of God unto another gospel, which is not another. It's another, but it's not completely another. But there be some that would trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. So what's happening in the churches of Galatia is not that they're being told to abandon Christ, or they're being told to abandon the gospel they had believed, or they're totally being told to throw that out, but rather there's a perversion being put on that gospel. There's a twist being put on that gospel that makes it a lie. And you know, it only takes a touch of the lie to tinge the truth and make it a lie. If you have a 5-gallon bucket of clear, pure water, and you drop one drop of red food coloring into it, it perverts all the water in that bucket, and it becomes reddened by that dye. Well, if you have the gospel that Paul had delivered to the churches of Galatia and that gospel, the grace of God that he had preached, and you take a little bit of the lie and you add that in, then it perverts and it tinges all that gospel that they were believing and all that gospel they were trusting and all that gospel that they had trusted for their salvation. Now, what was it that was perverting this gospel? Well, if you look over in Galatians chapter 3, verse 1, Paul says this, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? So Paul reminds them of the gospel that they believed, the gospel that they trusted, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. I've set him forth among you. Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you. Who's bewitched you to get away from that? Verse 2. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? So the question at hand in Galatia is that someone has come in and preached to them a gospel that says you began in the Spirit, you began by faith, by simply believing what God said, believing the gospel, but now you need to perfect your salvation in the flesh. Are ye now made perfect in the flesh? Now, the question Paul asked there is rhetorical. When he says, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect in the flesh? The answer to that is no. If you've begun in the Spirit, if you're saved by grace, then it's going to be the Spirit and grace that perfects you. It's not by your flesh, by your works, that you'll be perfected. Now, where would they get that idea? Where would they get the idea in the Gentile churches of Galatia that somehow, after they've been saved by grace, and after they've believed the gospel of their salvation, and they've received spiritual life in Christ, where would they get the idea that now there's some performance? Now there's something in the flesh that they must do. Well, if we go back to Galatians chapter 2, we find that in writing to the churches of Galatia, Paul refers to a meeting that he had with Peter. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 1, then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me, and I went up by revelation and communicated unto them the gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. Paul said, I went up to Jerusalem and I had a meeting with the apostles. And when I had that meeting with the apostles, we settled some things. We settled some issues. And if you look down in verse 7, but contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision, and they is Peter, James, and John, and the rest of the apostles, contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Paul says, we had a meeting in Jerusalem, and at that meeting it was decided that I had committed to me the gospel of the uncircumcision, and that I had the message for the Gentiles, and that Peter, James, and John were going to stay with the circumcision, with that little flock in Israel. Now, what was the question he had gone up there to Jerusalem about? And what was the issue that was settled and that he refers to here in the book of Galatians? Well, turn back with me, if you will, to Acts chapter 15. In Acts chapter 15, we read historically about that meeting. When Paul writes about it in the book of Galatians, he's writing in the past, this is what I did. When you read about it here in Acts 15, you read about it as it happens. Luke records that trip that Paul made with Titus up to Jerusalem and what the discussion involved. Acts 15:1, and certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. It was necessary to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. That's what was at issue there at Jerusalem. The Jews, there were Jews, believing Jews. If you notice the passage, verse 5 of Acts 15, but there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying it was needful to circumcise them. These are not the unbelieving Jews. These are not the Jews that had been persecuting the 12 apostles. These are not the Jews that had rejected Christ. These are Jews that had received Christ. These are Jews that had received the message of Peter and the other 11 apostles.
And yet they're saying to these believing Gentiles that it's needful for them to be circumcised and to keep the law of Moses. Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? That's the question at Galatia. If you're saved by grace, do you now need to go back and keep the law? Do you need to be circumcised? Do you need to keep that law of Moses in order to keep that salvation, to maintain that salvation, to demonstrate that salvation? And Paul's answer to the church of Galatia is no. You don't need to, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect in the flesh, by the flesh? No. It's not circumcision. It's not keeping the law of Moses. None of that is at issue in perfecting the saints. None of that is at issue in your salvation. None of that is at issue in you leading a life that's pleasing to God. We're talking this month about living life. Find it, get it, learn it, live life. And sadly, for most Christians, their Christian life, living their Christian life, comes down to a series of do's and don'ts. It comes down to a series of laws. It comes down to a series of do this and don't do that. And that's what Christianity is to most people. Even those that have believed the gospel, even those that are truly saved, when it comes to actually living that life, it just becomes do this and don't do that. That's all it is. And Paul, here in Acts chapter 15, is meeting with the apostles that were apostles before him, the 12, the apostles that Christ chose in his earthly ministry. He's meeting with them to say, that's not the message that God gave to the Gentiles. There were Jews going out from there in Jerusalem, believing Jews, who were following those apostles and going out to those Gentile churches that Paul had established and telling them, you must be circumcised and keep the law of Moses. And Paul, as he deals with that, turn with me back now to the book of Galatians. Paul, as he deals with that, says, no, that's not the case. That's not true. It's not now a matter of being circumcised and keeping the law of Moses. In fact, in the book of Galatians, he expands that, being circumcised, keeping the law of Moses. He says there, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Is there any work of the flesh that now will perfect you in your Christian life? Is there anything your flesh can do to live the Christian life? Can you make your flesh like Christ and have a Christ-like life? No, you can't. Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? No. Paul writes the book of Galatians to deal with just this issue that we're talking about this month. How can you live the life of Christ? And you'll notice as he does so, he makes clear, Galatians chapter 1 and verse 11, Paul says, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul makes clear as he opens the book that he is the one that has the authority to deal with this question in the churches of the Gentiles, in the churches that are a part of the church, the body of Christ. This gospel that he preached about how to live the life of Christ is a gospel that's unique to him. I certify you, brethren, the gospel that I preach was not after man. I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation. It was revealed to me directly by the ascended Christ. That's why last month when we talked about rightly dividing the word of truth and talked about the fact that Paul is the apostle of the Gentiles and the apostle for the church, the body of Christ, and that it's in his writings, Romans to Philemon, that we find the doctrine and practice for the church, the body of Christ. Paul reaffirms that here in Galatians chapter 1. That he's the one that's going to tell us how to live the life of Christ. Look in Galatians chapter 5 at what he says there in chapter 5 and verse number 1. He says, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto thee, if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. I testify again to every man that's circumcised that he's a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. Christ has become... If you're going to try to perfect yourself in the flesh, if you're going to boil your Christian life and living that Christian life down to a series of do's and don'ts and keeping the law, whatever that law might be, whether it's the Mosaic law or whether it's some law you just come up with, don't smoke, don't drink, don't chew, don't run with them that do, whatever your little law is that you have, Paul says, if you try to perfect yourself, if you try to live your Christian life based upon some law that the flesh will be keeping, then you've made Christ of no effect. And you've put yourself back under the bondage and the curse of the law. Now, we're going to spend this month understanding what it is to live under the bondage of the curse of the law and how our Christian life is a life that's been delivered from that. And we live not based on a series of do's and don'ts and laws and bondage, but we live in the freedom and liberty. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And we stand in liberty and live our Christian life, the life of Christ in us, by faith. We encourage you to tune in for the remainder of this month as we continue this series of studies on living the life of Christ. Right now, we'll take these last few moments to invite you to write to us here at Grace Alive with any questions or comments that you might have. Our address is Grace Alive, 743 Ridge Road, Fallen Timber, Pennsylvania, 16639. That's Grace Alive, 743 Ridge Road, Fallen Timber, Pennsylvania, 16639. Our web address is gracealive.us and our toll-free phone number, 877-53-GRACE. We look forward to having you contact us in any one of those ways this week. And if you do contact us this week, we'll be glad to send you the audio or video cassette tapes of this entire month's series of studies. Just request the series on living the life of Christ. We'll be glad to get it out to you with no cost or obligation. We hope that you'll be tuned in next week. And until then, we trust that God's grace will truly be alive in your life.